Today's Shi'ez Masechta Krisis, Daf Chaf Beis. We will begin on Daf Chaf Aleph on the Beis, five lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Sheshes. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes. Dam Mahalke Shtayim. The dam of two people who walk on two legs, which is another way of saying the blood of human beings. Afila Mitzvahs Proish Einbay. There is no obligation at all to separate oneself from it. One may eat the dam. A mahalchishtein. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, we learned in a brisa, dam atchol, dam halev, dam akloyus, dam evorim. The blood of the spleen, of the heart, of the kidneys, of the different organs, harei elu b'loisa say. There is no chiyiv karis on these blood, but there is the chiyiv la. Dam mahalchishtein, dam shrotz and remoshim, the blood of people and of shrotz and remoshim. Osir is still osir. Yes, ein chayovim olav, but there is no chiyev. So here we see that the dam of a person is osir. How could Rav Sheshes say that it's mutter? Answers the Gemara, ki tanya osir. When the Rav Sheshes say that it's osir, that pirish, when it was separated from the person's body, that's when the Brisa says it's osir. Ki kam Rav Sheshes. When Rav Sheshes said that it's mutter, is speaking about a situation but the loy pirish, where it did not separate from the person. Ketanya, as we indeed learned in a brisa, dam shagab kikar, blood that's found on a piece of bread. That means if a person took a bite of bread and some blood came out of his gums, goyroi va'oichloi, one must scrape off the blood before he eats it. Shabein ha'shinayim. But blood that's between the gums, between the teeth, might, by the way, you could suck it and swallow it. There is no problem. For as the Mefarshim explained, the truth of the matter is, as we've learned and will learn, there is no mutter dam by dam mahalchishtayim, by people. The only reason Chazal were machmer is only because of maris ayin. And maris ayin is only when the blood is separated, where it's that's when there's a concern of maris ayin. When it's not separated, there is no issa maris ayin. Although I did see the Paisim say that although Al Gemara, when it says that the dam is mutter, speaking about a case where the blood is in the mouth, but it's not limited to where the blood is in the mouth. Even when the blood is, let's say somebody has a wound, and he sucks the blood on the wound, that too would be mutter. It's clear from Al Gemara, that it's the opinion of Al Gemara, that even though dam mahalchishtayim, as the Gemara has said, and will continue to teach us, is not usur, Chazal made a gzeira on maris ayin, which is an interesting concept, because Ramah's opinion is that the issa of maris ayin, Chazal only institute maris ayin by something which is osam deraisa. That's why we know, as was discussed in the previous shiurim, that if somebody is eating meat, and with the meat he's eating cholov shkedim, almond milk, he has to have shkedim next to the milk to show that it's not regular milk, it's shkedim milk. The question that comes up, says the Ramah, what about if you're eating poultry with shkedim milk? So there he says there is no issue at all, because since the entire isser of bas b'cholov by basar oif is only a drabonon, by drabonon Chazal were not concerned for maris ayin. The Marshal disagrees with the Ramah, and he says that even by isser drabonon were choshish for maris ayin. Actually, points out the crazy placey. It seems that Al Gemara is a proof to the opinion of the Marshal, because Al Gemara is saying that when you have blood of a human on a piece of bread, we're concerned about maris ayin. But at the very same time, we're learning that there is no issa deraisa by the dam of a person. So the crazy placey, even though he asked this question, says that it's not a question. That even though in Al Gemara we see that Chazal made Gzeir Maris Ayin, even by Yidra Bonon, That doesn't mean that that's a general rule. This may be an exception to the rule, where here Chazal sort of need to make a maris ayin by the Rabbanan, even though they normally do not. Furthermore, we see clearly here that maris ayin is a real concern in halacha. And when we have a concern of maris ayin, we have to do something to show that that concern should be resolved. Like I said, by the Chol Shkedim, putting the milk, putting the almonds next to the milk to show that it's not regular milk, it's almond milk. The Marsham says that we don't necessarily have to put the almonds there, but he says that what could also be perhaps acceptable is by putting the label of the product that we're using, and the label clearly indicates that this is not regular milk, it's almond milk. That also would resolve the problem of maris ayin. Furthermore, the Paiskim say that the only time we're concerned with maris ayin is with something that doesn't have an easy explanation, like dam. We know that typically blood is asur, so that's why we have to be concerned about maris ayin or vasa b'cholov. But the discussion that the Paiskim have is when that margarine we know could be parif, and margarine also seems to look like butter. So if we have margarine on the table while we're eating a meat meal, what is the halacha? So the Paiskim take the opinion that if everybody is aware that there's a simple understanding why this is not a situation of maris ayin, then Chazal do not make a gzeira of maris ayin. And therefore they explain, since everybody is aware that there is paris margarine available, so when they see margarine on a table where meat is served, they're not going to be concerned, how do we have margarine on this table? Isn't it a concern of maris ayin? Because everybody's going to recognize that margarine is typically served, and margarine is typically parif, we need not be concerned. And not only do the Paiskim seem to understand that nowadays, where parif margarine is so very prevalent, we need not be concerned, but it seems that even when margarine was first introduced, where it wasn't so common, and people weren't so aware that there's no concern, still, it seems that it was the fact that it's easily produced is enough of a reason not to be concerned about maris ayin. Although I did see that the Paiskim suggest that when margarine was originally introduced and wasn't so common, power of margarine, perhaps there was an issue of maris ayin. It's only nowadays where there's much less of a concern. It's only nowadays with much less of a concern that Chazal take the approach that we could be, the Pais can take the approach that we can be much more lenient with something that is so well known. Continues the Gemara. If the Master Lahad Rav Sheshes al Hadol. There's a different version of what Rav Sheshes said. It refers to the following Braisa. The Tanya. It says in the Braisa, Yochach Ye Cholov Mahal Chishtayim. That if somebody eats the milk of a person, he should be over a laugh. V'dinhu, and we can make the following kavachoyma. Ma behema tameya. If when we speak about a non-kosher animal, she kalta b'maga, we were lenient regarding the hilchas tum on it. And there are many different pshatim and rishonim. What does the Gemara mean here? Which she kalta b'maga. Rashi says that by an animal there is no din of zava, there is no din of nida. By a person there is a din of nida and ziva. Rabbeinu Gershon says there's a din of tumas meis by a person. By animals there is no tumas meis. By an animal it never becomes tame while it's still alive. A person can become tame even while he's alive. A person, Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rashba say that if a behema came into contact with a mace, it doesn't make other people tamei, whereas a person, we know, if he comes in contact with a mace, makes other people tamei. So since we have all these chumras by a adam, so if behema she count the b'maga, that we're so much more lenient than hilchas tuma, as we just explained, by behema over a person, hechmar the b'chalba, the halach is that we of course may not drink the milk of a non-kosher animal. Mahalchishtayim, so when we speak about people, shechmarta b'magon, that was so much more stringent regarding the hilchas tuma, ain't a din shetachmer b'chalbon, so certainly we should be more machmer when it comes to, we should also say that the milk is also. And even though the Mefarshim ask, don't we have a rule that ain't unshim and adin, and that we can't create an iser through a kal v'chomer? So how would the Gemara assume that here we should be able to make such a rule? So the Mefarshim answer, that is said when we speak about hilchas iser v'heter. So we can't create an iser through a kal v'chomer. Here we're not speaking about iser v'heter. Here we're speaking about tumah, and tumah can be derived through a kal v'chomer. But then the Rishonim ask a different question. Why doesn't the Gemara say that by behema, tameya, you may not eat its meat? By a person, you may eat its flesh. So the Magen Mishnah, in answer to this question of the Pshita Mekubetza, says from here to Raya, to the opinion of the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that it's osur to eat the basar of an Adam, and therefore that cannot be the refutation of this kal v'chomer. Which, interestingly enough, the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam, and the Rambam says that eating the basar of an Adam cannot be osur, because the Ramban actually uses our Gemara as the Raya. If the halacha is that the basar of an Adam is osur b'achila, so our Gemara is saying that the dam of a person is mutter. How could the Gemara say, says the Ramban, that the dam of a person is mutter, if the dam of a person is yoytze, it comes out of the basar of an Adam, and if the basar of an Adam is osur, the dam of the Adam ought to be osur as well? So it says the Ramban, our Gemara is a raya that the basar of an Adam is actually mutter medayraisa. The Rambam, as we just explained, disagrees. I asked the Mefarshim, what does the Rambam do with the Ramban's question that if the basar is osur, then the dam should be osur because it's yoytze min iser. The dam comes from the basar, and if the basar is osur, then the dam ought to be osur as well. Answer the Mefarshim, that when is the Rambam's opinion is that when is there a din of yoytze min atamei is tamei, that something that emanates from something that's tamei, it too is tamei, says the Ramban, that's only in a situation, say the Mefarshim, that's only when there's an iser lav. But the iser of a basar adam, even according to the Rambam, who holds that it's osur, is only an iser asay, and since it's only an iser asay, there we don't say yoytze min atamei tamei. What is the iser asay that the Mefarshim are referring to in understanding the opinion of the Rambam? So I saw that the Malbim explains that Adam Harishon was told only to eat the trees, the fruit, not basar. Then, so that became an isra say for him to eat any meat. Yes, then Noach was told that he may eat meat, and then he was told that he may eat all meat, and then we, Klal Yisrael, became limited in what meat we may eat, only kosher meat. But the original Isra say that was said to Adam Harishon, that he may not eat meat, that original Isra say remains, and that's the Isra say that the Rambam refers to why you're not allowed to eat human flesh. But the Rambam will hold, as we just said, that it's only an Isra say, And since it's only in Isra say, we don't say the din of Yotzim and Atomei is Tomei, and the blood can remain mutter. So continues the Gemara. So if by people Shechmarta B'magon that have more tumo, and a din Shetachma B'chalbon, certainly they should not, may not drink their milk. Tamaloymer as ze loytechlu, ze Tomei, only the milk of a non-kosher animal is Tomei. But not the milk of human being is tamei. Oitzi is a cholov. So continues the Braisa. We'll say that the milk of humans is not osur. Shein shav b'kol, because it doesn't apply by everything. Because as we know, only the milk of non-kosher animals is osur, not the milk of kosher animals. That's the way most Rishonim learn. Rabbeinu Gershom learns that only the milk is only by females, not by males. But when we speak about blood, it applies by males and females. It applies, the Isser Dam is both by kosher animals and by non-kosher animals. So the Isser Dam should also apply to human beings. Tamaloymer, Tomei hu lachem, ze Tomei, only the blood of animals is osur. Ve'en dom halchei shtayim Tomei, the blood of human beings is not Tomei, ela tohor. So our Gemara is the source, how we know that we may drink even human milk. The interesting question is that the Gemara Masech Ksuva says that a child can nurse from his mother until he's 24 months old. Afterwards, it's usher for the child to drink his mother's milk. But the Gemara says that that's only when he's nursing. Once the child is 24 months old, he may not nurse, he should not nurse from his mother anymore. But let's say a woman expressed milk into a cup, then you're allowed to drink that milk at any age. The Rishonim debate, what does the Gemara mean? Does it mean strictly a child may not nurse when he's over the 24 months? But an adult may nurse? Or other Rishonim say that if a child may not nurse, certainly an adult may not nurse as well. Amar Sheshes. So now it says the Gemara, on the Braisa that we just learned, comments Rav Sheshes, I feel a mitzvah's proshim, boy, even with Rabbanan there is no mitzvah to learn to stay away from human blood. The Mepharshim asked that the Gemara at the beginning of this perek had another raya, who had a whole different explanation how we know the dam of a person is not osur. And that was because the pasuk says v'chol dam lo yisechelu, and we learned the other day in the previous block in daf chaf aleph that there's a klal pratu klal that eliminates dam adam from being osur because it's not similar to behem of oif. So why does our gemara have to give a different approach? Explain the Mepharshim, as we've learned many times, there's a very fundamental machloikus throughout Shas, how to explain psukim that seem to be very similar. Do we learn that with a ribui means ribui, or do we learn it with a klal or prat or klal? So the Gemara in the previous staff learned it with the approach of a klal or prat or klal. So we learn it with the approach of klal or prat or klal. We indeed come to this position that that's how we know the dam of a person is mutter. But if we learn these psukim with a ribui miyut ribui approach, then we won't come to that maskana. And that's why the Gemara had to come to a different approach, how to find out that the dam of a person is mutter. Tanan hasam, says the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Mesech Techulim, Halev, when it comes to the heart, Kairai, one should cut it open, to extract the blood. But if somebody didn't do so, he's not over if he eats that dam. Of that, on that says the Gemara, Amrav Zera Amrav, when was this said? It was only said when we speak about the heart of a bird, hoil ve'enbay kazayas, since there is no kazayas in the heart of a blood. And as the Mepharshim explained, either our Gemara is going according to Manda Omer that there is no problem with a chotzi shear, Or even if our Gemara is following the opinion of Chatzi Shir Asim and Atayra, what our Gemara means to say is that there is no Chiv Malkus because you have less than the Shir. Others explain that even if we hold, like the opinion, that Chatzi Shir is Asim and Atayra, when do we say Chatzi Shir is Asim and Atayra? We only say so when we speak about something that could come to a shir. But the point of our Gemara to tell us this, explained in the Mefarshim, is obviously there's no issa here if it's less than a shir. The answer explained in the Mefarshim is that our Gemara's come to teach us is that the lev of an oif never has in it a kazayis. And since the lev of an oif never has in it a kazayis, there will never be an issue of having a kazayis, and therefore there will never be even the man the Omer who holds Chatzi Shir is awesome and Atayra will agree that here it's mutter. Avalei behema, when we speak about the heart of an animal, the yesh by kazayis that has in it a kazayis of dam, asura osur, it's osur chayavim of kars. Not only is osur, but if somebody eats the dam of that lave, he has a chiyiv kars. The Mefarshim point out that our Gemara clearly is indicating that by a heart, by dam, the shear is kazayis. Which the Mefarshim ask, that isn't that difficult to understand, given that we know that whenever it comes to shiurim, we say as following: if it's a liquid, the shear is a revius. If it's a solid, the shear is a kazayis. And here we're speaking about a solid. So why is the Gemara saying, here we're speaking about a liquid. So why does the Gemara say that the shear is a kazayis? Shouldn't the Gemara have said that the shear is a revius? So some Mefarshim explain that our Gemara is referring to a situation where the dam is congealed. So since the dam is congealed, so it's like a solid, the shear is a kazayis. But indeed, If it was in a liquid, the shear would be a revius. But there's a very big chiddush from Chaim Brisker. He says that the shear of dam, even when it's in liquid form, is a kazayis. And he says that the difference between a revius and a kazayis is not if it's a liquid versus if it's a solid. He says the difference is in what way the Torah describes the Issa. And if the Torah uses the words Oich Achila when describing the Issa, then the Issa is a kazayis even when it's a liquid form. And since when the Torah speaks about dam, we know that the wording of the Torah is Loisoich Lukol Dam, therefore the Issa is even by, the Issa is always measured in kazayis. Although the Reb Chaim himself asks that the Rambam paskins that the shear of eating mice, of drinking mice of sheni wine outside of Yerushalayim is a revius. And we know that the Torah, when it speaks about the Yisr Maisa, says Lesucha Lecho. So you see, even though the Torah uses the words Achila, the shear is measured by a liquid with a revius. How is that consistent with his opinion? And in fact, because of this question, the Miches Chinuch disagrees with Reb Chaim's explanation, says, but the Mefarshim explained to defend the opinion of Reb Chaim Brisker that the Torah said Lesucha, when the Torah speaks about the Isser of eating Maisa Shteini outside Yerushalayim, Lesucha Lecha B'Sherecha D'Goncha Siroshka V'Yitzarecha. So Reb Chaim explains that the Lesucha Lecho is going on the D'Goncha, on the wheat. The Tereshcha, the wine, the word Oichel doesn't, Lecho doesn't reflect on that word, and therefore there, the shear could indeed be a revius. But where the Torah clearly says the word Achila, even when it's speaking about a liquid, the shear will be a revius, will be a kazayis, not a revius. Ask the Gemara what Rav just taught us. Meisvei, we learned in the Braisa, Dam Atchol, Dam Alei, Dam Aklois, Dam Eivorim, Harei, Elu Beloisa say, Dam Halchishtayim, the Dam of people, Dam Shkotz Ramoshim, Osir Ein Chayovim Alof. But here it clearly says that eating the dam halev is only an iser lav, not an iser kores. Answers the Gemara. Kik tani ein chayavin olav. When the Braisa says that there's no iser kores but a dam halev, it's talking about dam delay, it's speaking about its own blood. Kikam Rav, when Rav said that there's iser kores by the dam halev, it's talking about the dam to osalei mi'alma. The Gemara is going to explain in a moment what does that mean. Ask the Gemara, dam delay, it was saying that the Braisa here means dam halev, it doesn't mean the dam, it means its own blood. So why does the Braisa have to enumerate it? The Braisa already says dam evorim. And isn't the dam halev dam evorim? Ask the Gemara, that isn't the question. If that's a legitimate question, then we should ask another question. The Braisa began milok tani dam akloyus. The Braisa spoke about the dam of the kidneys. And then the kidneys also one of the evorim. V'ktani dam evorim. So we could ask the same question. What does the Braisa have to say dam hakloyus and dam haevorim? Rather, how must we understand the wording of this Braisa? Tani, the Braisa first talks about the individual specific organs. Fahada Tani, and then it just generalizes Dam Evarim. Hachinami, the Braisa begins with speaking about the Dam Halev. Tani, and then Fahada Tani, it generalizes by summarizing with Dam Evarim. So, that Dam, agrees Rav, only has an Issalav. But the dam that comes me alma has a chiyuv kares. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Ma'eich asle, what if the dam that comes from elsewhere in the heart, that there should be over there, and that's where Rav says there's an issa kares? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Zera, Vizman Shenashama Yaitza, as the animal dies, and it has it slit by the neck, Nisra Sarif, it coughs, and it draws that blood from the neck to the heart, and that blood is a chiyuv kares. So we learned in the Mishnah, dam she neshama yotze ba chayav nolof. That if somebody eats the dam from the dam she yotze ba, that's where there's a chiyuv kares. Before we go further, in understanding this Gemara, the Rishonim explained this the way Rashi explains in this Gemara, and that's the approach that we're going to take, that there are four bloods that come out of an animal as it's killed. First, black blood trickles out, then red blood trickles out, then red blood comes out with a spurt, and then red blood trickles out. There are other opinions in other Masechtos, particularly to have the black blood at the end, not at the beginning. But this is clearly the way Rashi learns our Gemara. So begins the Gemara Itma. Eizu dam ha-kozosh ha-neshama tluyubo. What is considered the dam ha-kozosh ha-neshama tluyubo? And the Aruch Lener makes the observation. Our Mishnah used the words dam sha-neshama yotzebo. This Gemara is using the word dam ha-kozosh. Why does this Gemara use somewhat different wording? So he explains, if we would only have the wording of our Mishnah, we would assume that the only dam that's usher is the dam that actually came out, the dam where the animal expired. Any other dam would not be usher. Teaches us here the Gemara that as long as it's the type of blood which can cause the animal, by its leaving the animal's body, the animal can die, that is already considered dam shenasham mishotzba. So which is that dam? Rabbi Yochanan Mekozman Shemekaleach, the blood that spurts out. So if I mentioned a moment ago four steps of the dam, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's only that third step that's considered dam shenasham mishotzba. From anything after the black drop of blood, that's considered dam shenasham yotzba. That means, according to Reish Lakish, the second, third, and fourth step dam are all considered dam. In fact, the Mefarshim take it a step further. They say that even Reish Lakish will hold that the last drop of black blood, not only were all the red blood be considered dam, but even the last drop of black blood is also considered dam. Meisvei asked the Gemara on the opinion of Reish Lakish. It says in a brisa, "Eizah dam hakozosh neshama yotzeba kov man shmekaleach." Only dam that spurts out. Yotzeh dam hatamtzis, that the blood that drains out afterwards. Neshu shoisis, which it trickles out. My laugh, isn't this brisa teaching us? The filu rishav achron, the first and the third of the red blood, since they only trickle out, they don't spurt out. The shoisis, who they trickle out. Kedama tamtzis dami. They're in the same category as the dama tamtzis, which our Mishnah clearly taught us does not have a chiyuv of dam. Isn't this Tiyuftad Reish Lakish, who says that all the red blood that comes out is considered dam? Says the Gemara Loi. Says Reish Lakish to defend himself. What the Braisa means to do here is lemuti dam hashat mashker, that the black blood is not considered dam. Aval dam rishon v'achron, when we speak about the first and third of the red blood, avgav du shoyses, even though they just trickle out, they don't splurt out, they are considered dam ha'inu dam ha'nefesh, they are considered dam ha'nefesh. Ask the Gemara another question on the opinion of Reish Lakish. Meisvei, ezu dam ha'nefesh, kol zman shemekaleach, only blood that spurts out. Yotza Rishav Achron, it comes to exclude the first and the third blood. Meneshu Shoises, that only trickle out. Tiyuftad Reish Lakish, this Brisa clearly disagrees with Reish Lakish. Answers the Gemara. Answers Reish Lakish. Amalach Tanahi, this issue of which dam is considered dam is actually a Machloikis Tanur. The Tanya, Ezu Dam HaNefesh, Kozman Shemekaleach, did Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar holds that only blood that spurts out is considered Dam HaNefesh. Rebbe Shimon Oymer, in the Tepe HaMashcheres Feilov, anything after the black blood, and Rebbe Shlokish concurs with the opinion of Rebbe Shimon. Says the Gemara, Tanit Ve'Rebbe Shmuel, the Pasuk says that Bilam, when he speaks about Klal Yisrael, says V'dam Chalolim Yishta, which means that Bilam, even though he was intending to curse Klal Yisrael, actually said that Klal Yisrael are successful in all of their battle, and so to speak, they could drink the blood of those who they slay. We know that the halacha is that food cannot become tamei unless it's mukshel kabbal tamei, unless it becomes susceptible to kabbalah tamei. What makes it susceptible to kabbalah tamei? By becoming wet with one of a number of beverages, and dam is one of those beverages. Says Rabbi Shmuel, based on this pasuk, prat ledam kilua, that the dam that comes as the person is dying, that spurting blood, shedim machshis rum, is not considered dam that can make food susceptible to tumah. So according to this Gemara, only the dam that comes after the person expires, kibi machshir, not any other dam. And the Rishonim point out that throughout Shas it seems that the halach is just the opposite, that only dam shanashama yoitzaba is machshir, but not the other dam. So the Mefarshim want to make a difference. They want to say there's a difference between animal blood and human blood. By animal blood, it's the dam shanashama yoitzaba that has the ability to be machshir. Al Gemara is speaking about dam ha'odom. By dam ha'odom, it's only the dam that comes out after the person, Rachman Son, expired, that has the ability to be machshir. Continues the Gemara, Baminei of Yirmiyim Reb Zeira. Hik is dam lebehema. If somebody did have causes dam on an animal, the kibol dama b'shnei koisis, and the dam is in two cups, mahu, how many karmachantas would he be chayiv? And as Taisus immediately points out, obviously, he drank the blood of these cups in two halams, because if he drank them behelam echot, he certainly would only be chayiv one chatas. On the first cup, everybody agrees that he's chayiv because there's splurting blood in it, and even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that dam is awesome. What about the second cup? To which he responded, it goes back to the machlokes that we just learned
plucked to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. It's connected to the machlokes that we just learned of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Didmar, hikas dama behema, v'kibol dama b'shnei kaisis. Reish Lakish amar chayv ashtei kaisis, because Reish Lakish says that whether it has spurting red blood or trickling red blood, it's all considered dam that's osur, with a chiyiv karis. Rabbi Yochanan amar chayv alachas, because only the splurting blood is usr, no other blood is usr midaraisa. We learned in the Mishnah that Yehuda has a stricter opinion, and Yehuda's opinion is mechayiv b'dama tamtzis, that there's an issa kares to even eat dam hatamtzis. There's a chiv kares and dam hatamtzis even. Amar b'lozer, however, moed of Yehuda l'ni kaparo. When it comes to doing zrikas adam on the mizbeach, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that we don't do zrikas adam with dam hatamtzis. Shenemar, because the pasuk says ki adam hu benefesh echaper dam shenefesh yotzba bechaper, only with dam that is shenefesh yotzba has do we use for kapara. V'sheni yefesh yotzba ena mechaper shenap be used for zrikas adam. Omer Nachum v'Yitzchak af anan anam itanina. I will cite a brice also showing that Yehuda agrees that with dam atamtzis we should not do zrikas adam. The Tanya, the pasuk could have said dam, ma tam loimer, kol dam. Why does the Torah use the words kol dam? Lefish nemar, ke dam hu benefesh echaper. Ein li ela dam kotshim shal nefesh yotzba. Would the Torah just said the word dam, I would say that it only refers to the dam shal nefesh yotzba, which that is the dam shum echaper that's used as zrikas adam. However, dam chulin, the dam of chulin, which obviously cannot be used as zrikas adam, or the dam atamtzis, even of kotshin, however, Yehuda is conceding that dam cannot be used for zriks adam minayin, that there's still an iser kares on that dam as well. Tamaloymer called dam to teach us that even dam chulin and dam tamtzis are included in the iser of dam. Now concludes the Gemara. Stam sifra. This is a sifra that's anonymous. And we know throughout Shas that the anonymous author of a Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that dam tamtzis, even though there's issa kares feeding such dam, there is no iser, that it should not be used as riksa dam. Says the Mishnah, Rekiva Machayev, a sofik ma'ila oshim tolu. Even if somebody only has a sofik, if he did ma'ila, Rabbi Kiva's opinion, as we will see in the Gemara, is that there's a chiv asher mi'ila, there's a chiv asher toli. Whereas the opinion of the Chacham is, the Chacham, as we'll learn, hold that there is no asher toli by mi'ila. Even though the Rishash asks, the why should we be lenient by asher toli? Don't we know that when it comes to tztaka, if somebody has a shaila, if he's chayiv in stock or not, we have to go l'chumra. So here too, we ought to go l'chumra. Answers the Rishash that that's a specific halacha regarding tztaka. But since we find throughout Shas that we're more lenient in other areas by Hegdish, there's no din of Hezek by Hegdish, so here too, there's no din of Oshem Toli by a Safk Me'ila. Or Mardav Akiva, Shein and Mavis Me'ila, that somebody doesn't have to pay his chiv mi'ila at shiv bought his father loy until he becomes absolutely clear that he's obligated to bring it, that he did the Aveira, and then he'll bring along with it the Oshem Vadai. Om Rav Tarfin, says Rav Tarfin, this is very different than your normal Oshem Tali situation, says Rav Tarfin. Malazah maybe shtei shonis. If the person has a suffix, if he did an Aveira, he has to bring a Oshem Tali. If he knows he did Me'ila, he has to bring a carbon Asher Me'ilas. So why would he want to bring two Me'ilas? Ela Me'evi Me'ila V'chumsha. So Tarfon clearly indicates, and as the Mefarshim point out, it seems that Rekiva agrees to this, that you can't bring your Asher Me'ila until you pay the Karen V'chumsh. So what he should do is, says Reb Tarfon, pay the Karen V'chaymish, the Yavi Oshem B'Shnei Sloim, Then you bring an osher which is worth two swan, as we'll see in the Gemara, that's the amount that that animal has to cost. The younger. If Vadim Alti, if I certainly did Me'ilah, Zum Me'ilah, Sivizu Hashamim. So I'm paying off my Karen B'chaymish, and here's my Hashem Me'ilah. Then Soft Malti, but if I didn't necessarily do Me'ilah, Hamas, the money should be in the Dover to the Hegdish, and the Oshim is an Oshim Tali. For says Reb Tarfin, Shemin Shemei Be'al Hoida, Mei Be'al Hoida. Oshim Tali and Hashem Me'ilah is the same animal. Amar Kiva, says Reb Kiva, near the Varba Me'ilah Muta, if the value of your Me'ilah or your questionable Me'ilah was not that significant, so since you have to bring the Karen V'chaymish, as we just said, before you bring the Hashem Me'ilah, but in a situation where, let's say, your Me'ilah was very expensive, it makes no sense to do this, says Rabbi Kiva to Rabbi Tarfin. Isn't it smarter, says Rabbi Kiva, just to bring your carbon osham that is only worth two slime, the Loyavis Safik Me'ilah v'meimana, versus paying your Karen v'chaymish on a Safik? But therefore, says the Gemara, but if your Me'ilah wasn't that significant, there, says Rabbi Kiva, what Rabbi Tarfin says makes sense. So, why doesn't Rabbi Tarfin agree with Rabbi Kiva? Explain the Mefarshim that it's the opinion of Rabbi Tarfin that even when somebody brings an Oshem Toli for a Me'ilah, he has to bring the Karen B'chaymish first. So Rabbi Kiva's argument that save yourself the Karen V'chaymish and just bring yourself the Oshem Tolui doesn't work, because if Tarfin holds, you're always going to have to bring the Karen V'chaymish even if you're only bringing an Oshem Tolui. So if you're even only bringing, if you're going to have to give the Karen V'chaymish, you might as well bring the Oshem with the Tanai that Rav Tarfin mentioned. Does Machlokes Rishonim, if this Tanai that Rav Tarfin mentioned, which as we're explaining, even Rav Kiva agrees to this Tanai, that in certain situations it makes sense, if it has to be expressly articulated, or even if it's not expressly articulated, the fact that you set, the fact that you bring this Oshem, that makes it enough that it should be considered that way. The Mefarshim also asked, why did the Mishnah have to repeat Moedah B'Kiva or Tarfin B'Me'ilah Me'utah? Isn't that clear that that's the opinion of Akiva? So Mefarshim explained that we would have thought that perhaps, since when the Me'ilah is very expensive, there the opinion of Akiva is very understandable. There the opinion of Akiva that in such a situation you should only bring, then in such a situation you, where B'Me'ilah Me'utah, B'Me'ilah Meruba, we bring an Oshem Tali. So maybe Rabbi Kiva doesn't want to differentiate between a Me'ilah Me'uta and a Me'ilah Meruba, and therefore Rabbi Kiva will hold that in all situations, just bring your Oshem Tolu, and then when you find out if you did that very, you'll bring your Karen V'chaymish and Oshem Me'ilis. Tells us the Mishnah that no, Rabbi Kiva doesn't subscribe to that, and Rabbi Kiva will agree that in such a situation, we can differentiate between a Me'ilah Me'uta and a Me'ilah Meruba. Tana Rabba. The Pasuk says, Vim Nefesh. The Pasuk that speaks about, that introduces the parasha of Oshem Tali. So since the Torah says, Vim Nefesh, says the Gemara, V'chayiv HaSafik Me'ilas Oshem Tali. That Pasuk comes to teach us that even by a Safik Me'ilah, the Zechiv Oshem Tali, Diver Bekiva. As the Malbim explains, usually when the Torah begins a parsha, it doesn't begin it with the word Ve'im. Here, since the Torah begins it with the word Ve'im, that's an indication it's coming to teach us a special halacha. Chachamim Patrim, Chachamim disagree, says the Gemara. Lem V'Hokim Efti, should we suggest that the Machlaikis is as follows. The Rekiva Sava Lumeidim Elyim Etaftim. The first parsha over there is the parsha of Oshem Tali. The next parasha is the parasha of Oshem Me'ilas. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva says, we learn the din of Oshem Tali, the din of, we connect Me'ilah to Oshem Tali, and the Zechi of Oshem Tali even by Me'ilah. Rabbanat Savri, Eilam Me'edim, Eliyam Etachtim. That we don't learn it that way. Says the Gemara, Amar Papa, no. The Kul Amalam Me'edim, Eliyam Etachtim. everybody agrees that that is a legitimate mahalach halimut. If not, says the Gemara, then came for were we not to learn that type of learning? Safim ben Bakr le mishkachas lo. The halach is that we have to shecht a carbon chattis and a carbon oila in the north side of the mizbeach. How do we know so? Because when the Torah speaks about cattle oilas, the Torah says only, and then the Torah speaks about oilas brought from sheep or goats. The Torah only says the chiv of tzofen when it speaks about sheep and goats. How do we know that it applies even by Ben Bakr? It could be connected to parshas. So if so, why did Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Akiva here? El Haka time the Rabbanan the Patri. The reason the Rabbanan over here disagree, the Gemira mitzvah mitzvah machatas. We learn the halacha of Oshin Tali from machatas. Mal halen dovah shechayov mal zodoyne koris val shigosei chatas. Where is the parish of Oshin Tali said only by an avera which was committed bezodin b'mezit the zechiyev koris and it was committed b'shogi the zechiyev chatas. Af kol shechayov mal zodoyne koris val shigosei chatas navy. As fake Oshin Tali, only then is there a din of Oshin Tali. Lefuki me'ila, then chayov and alzor doyne karis. We know that if somebody did me'ila b'meza, there is no chiyuv karis. The Tanya, as the Brisa taught us, heza b'me'ila, if somebody deliberately did me'ila, Rebbe Omer b'misa, there's a chiyuv misa de shemayim, acham ma'im b'azhara. Verb Kiva, so how does Rebbe Kiva respond? It says Rebbe Kiva sova, ki apin in yitzis, mitzis, mitzis, mechatis chelif. What does this Zeru Shavah come to teach us? Only when somebody did an Avera, for which there's a set carbon, that's when there's a Chiv carbon Oshin Tali. It comes to school that somebody did an Avera, for which there's a Chiv carbon Oil of Yorid, the law, even Rabbi Kiva will agree, there is no Chiv Oshin Tali. Rabbanan Tzavi, it is the opinion of the Rabbanan, the Eng Zeru Shavah L'Matzah. If we're learning from Chatos, we have to learn it all the way. And if we have to learn it all the way, just like by Chatos, the halacha is, just like by Chatos, the halacha is that it has to be a carbon Chatos and a kares bezezit, so too by Mila that doesn't have that rule will not have the chiyuv of Oshin Tali. Ask the Gemara. Mechlad the Rekiva saw the Yesh Gzer Shavu Matzah. Can Rekiva hold that there is Gzer Shavu Matzah? From our Gemara, it seems that everybody agrees that ain't Gzer Shavu Matzah. And therefore, says the Gemara, the Kulama, everybody indeed agrees that ain't Gzer Shavu Matzah. So how do we understand it? So why don't we learn from Chatos that there should not be a Chiv Oshin Tolui by that there should not be a Chiv Oshin Tolui by Mila? And the time of the Rekiva, Dama Kro, the Im Nefesh, the Torah by saying the word the Im Nefesh, comes to teach us Vav Moisif al Inyan Rishon, the Yilmet Elyon Mitachtan. And therefore, we can learn the Halacha of the first parasha, the Elyon, the Din of Oshin Tolui, from the bottom parasha, the Din of Me'ila. How did Rabbanan disagree? Because again, it seems that everybody agrees that we learn Elyon Mitachtan. Rabbanan Savri, Tachtan Hu Degamim Me'elyon. We learn the halacha of Oshin Tolui from Asham. We learn the halacha of Oshin Me'ilis from Oshin Tolui. La'Oshin Kesef Shkolim. To teach us that the value of the carbon Oshin has to be at least 2 silver shekels. Rabbi Kiva Savar, now how, that's what the Pasuk is Kamshon. Rabbi Kiva Savar, Rabbi Kiva on the other hand holds, Ein Hekesh L'Matzah. So just like we're learning that the Asham Me'ilis has to be worth at least 2 silver shekel. We learned that from Oshin Tali. We learn Oshin Tali from Me'ila, that by Me'ila there's also a din of Oshin Tali. Ask the Gemara, would Rabbanan disagree that? Meklav Rabbanan Tzav Yeshekel Shemachzah, that we're learning Me'ila from Oshin Tali, but we're not learning Oshin Tali from Me'ila? For Kaimon, don't we have a rule throughout Shas? And then Hekish Lemachzah, says the Gemara, absolutely. Normally, the halacha is ein hekesh lemachtza. V'acha hayna tam d'rabbanan. The gamri mitzvahs mitzvahs. There's a gzeri shava of mitzvahs mitzvahs that tell us not to learn the Hekesh. That means, if we had the Hekesh alone, indeed the Hekesh would indicate that just like that we learn Mi'ila from Ashim Talui, and Ashim Talui from Ila, and there would be a Chiv Ashim Talui from Ila. But then the Torah gave us a Gzeri Shava of mitzvahs, to teach us that if there is no firm carb, that if there is no carbon chatos, a Chiv Kares, there is no Ashim Talui. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva says, to teach us the halacha that the value of an Ashim Talui, also of a Kesher Shkol Nafgale, that the Ashim should be at least worth 2 silver shekel, that I learned from the pasuk of Zois Torah Sa'ashim, to teach us Torah Ach L'chol Ashamas, L'ashim, that the carbon Ashim should always be worth at least 2 shekel. And therefore, since that is where I learned that halacha from, so we don't need the Hekesh to teach us the value of the carbon ashram. What must the Hekesh come to teach us? The Hekesh must come to teach us that there is an ashram talui by mi'ila. Rabbanan, how would Rabbanan respond? Say Rabbanan, Avgad b'ksiv zois teres ish ashram, that would clearly indicate that the value of an ashram must be 2 silver shekel. It's the kral l'mifta v'im nefesh. We still need the Torah to say v'im nefesh, v'av mois of al-inyan rishin, to teach us to connect the din of Ashim Talui to the din of Ashim Ilis. And just like, as we said earlier, that we learn that the Torah says, the Torah says by carbon Ilah, the halacha is that it has to be worth 2 silver shekel, so too must an Ashim Talui be worth 2 silver shekel. Why do I need this limit? The E Mizois Taris Ashram, if the only way we would know that it has to be worth 2 silver shekels from Taris Ashram, we would say, says the Gemara, Hava Amina, Ki Amina Taira Achas L'Kol Ashamas, when the Torah says that all carbon Ashram should have the same value, Hani Mil B'Shar Ashamas Vadon, that's only by an Ashram Vadai. Kivin Abu Ashim Toli, when we speak about an Ashim Toli, Kivin Da Safachel Kasi. What is the case of an Ashim Toli? The classic case, as we've been learning, is when somebody has a question of the 8th Caliph. Now, suggests the Gemara, we would perhaps say, why should the Safach, if I did an Aveira, be treated more stringently than if I certainly did an Aveira? And the Gemara explains itself. Ma Vado. If somebody certainly ate chelos, he brings the chatos, which is could be worth even just a danko, which is just like a mall, a sixth of a dinner. Ash sveka. So if somebody has a sofik if he ate chelos, it should be enough that he should bring an oshem bar danko. Ahochi kos rachman v'im nefesh vav maisa v'alinyan rishon, to teach us that even oshem tolui should be worth at least 2 civil shekel. So ask the Rishonim. Indeed, what's pshat? If I for sure ate chaylev, I could bring a minimal value carbon. And when I have a suffix, I have to bring a much more expensive carbon. Say to Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonan, Ramban, say that a suffix aveira is more serious than a certain aveira. Why? Because when somebody does an aveira, he recognizes he did an aveira, and he recognizes that he must do tshuva. But when somebody it has only a suffix if he did an Aveira, so he starts to rationalize that I really didn't do any Aveira at all. And since he begins to rationalize that he really didn't do any Aveira at all, perhaps he ought not to have to bring a carbon. So that's why the Torah tells him bring an expensive carbon to get the message across that he's indeed chai of a carbon. Vav Mois of Alinyan Rishon, that an Ashim Talui must be worth, also like all other carbon Ashams, 2 silver shekel. Says the Gemara, Hanich Laman the Dorish Sayyid Teres Asham, Rav Kiva said that we know that all carbon Asham have to be worth 2 shekel because he learned Zayyid Teres Asham. But this is the question, do we learn from the fact that the Torah says Zayyid Teres Asham? A Gemara, a Mesechta Menachos. El Mandam Aloy Dorish Zayyid Teres Asham, Ayat Lameimah. Answers the Gemara, Yalab Ekacham Ekacham Asham Ila. He lived with a Zer Shava. Asham Shivcha Karufcha. Asked him about Asham Shivcha Karufcha like Siva Ekacha. So how will we know that it too must be worth at least 2 silver shekel? Answers the Gemara, Yalpin Ail Ail. Here the Torah uses the word Ail. Abba Shivcha Karufcha, the Torah uses the word Ail. So we know it has to be worth 2 silver shekel. The Mishka says, Maidir Rekiva. But Rekiva says that if it's not a serious expense, there he agrees with the opinion of Tafrin. From Suffolk, and the Mishnah says that if it's a Suffolk, my kama, it's obvious that we're dealing with a Suffolk. What's the Mishnah saying from Suffolk? On Rav Tani, im sveik oimid la'olam, if the person always remains with a Suffolk, he'll never find out if he did me'ilo or not, so then it remains an Ashim Tali. The Mishnah said, shemin shehevi al-hoida, neighbor shalai-hoida. The same type of animal that's used when somebody somebody has to bring an Oshem Vadai, an Oshem Ilus, that's the same animal that's used for Oshem Tolu. Soif, ask the Gemara, Kimis Yadalei, why is a Tnai, their path of mentioning the Mishnah acceptable? Kimis Yadalei, Boile Soy Oshem Vadai. He should only be able to bring the Oshem when he knows for sure he did an Aveira. So how could he make such a stipulation that if I did the Aveira, this should serve as my Asham Ilus if he doesn't know yet if he even did the Aveira? Amar Rava, so says the Gemara, Medivri Shneim, because Rav Akiva doesn't disagree with Rav Tafrin regarding this point, Numad we could see, the Asham Adelai Boyadi B'Tchila. That even though, when it comes to Karmat Chatos, one cannot bring a Karmat Chatos until he is certain that he did it in Aveira, when we speak of Karban Asham, that din doesn't apply. And even if a person only has a suffix, if he did the Aveira, can he bring the Asham Vadai? And therefore, in our Mishnah, one can make this tonight, that if I did Mi'ilo, this Karban that I'm bringing should serve as the Asham Vadai, even though he doesn't know yet for sure that he indeed committed Mi'ilo.